Well, good evening, councillors and members of the gallery and council staff that are present, also those that are watching online. Can I begin by acknowledging the Wangal people of the Eora Nation, who are the traditional custodians of this land, and I'd like to pay my respects to their elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to other First Nations people who may be present. I declare the meeting open for the 15th of February 2022. I'd like to call on Dylan from the Bellwood Baptist Church, Pastor Dylan, who is here to lead us in prayer for the beginning of the term. Can I ask that we be upstanding, please?
There you go. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for having me today. Let me also add my congratulations to all of you who swore in today. It's a noble task that you have chosen to do. So we pray that God will bless you. And thank you for the warm invitation to pray before you begin this meeting. This is the second time I've been asked to do that, and I don't take it lightly. We as a church, we pray for you individually. That is something that we do regularly. And because that's something as Christians we are asked to do. If I may read one verse from the Bible. Bible says, "I urge you first of all to pray for all people. Ask God to help them intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peacefully and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity." So allow me to pray and commit this meeting. Father God of heaven and earth, today we thank you for the men and women whom you have chosen to serve our community in leadership roles. Please provide these men and women with reminders each day of why they decided to dedicate their lives to public service, and may they serve well. Father, we are also grateful to be living in a democracy where many play a part in making sure the right decisions are made. As these leaders work together, we ask that you guide them to speak and act respectfully to one another, help them to show Christ-like love and humility to those they interact with, help them to put the needs of others before theirs. May the widow, the orphan, the refugee, the homeless, and the marginalized find care and protection in their hands. May they be good stewards of the resources entrusted to them. Please give them ears to listen, a heart to be compassionate, a mind to discern, and the ability to do the right thing. We also pray for their families. Please protect them and bless them as their loved ones have committed to serve this community. Lord, we are also grateful for the council staff, the work they do. Provide them with knowledge needed to approach each situation in the best way possible. We once again thank you and commend them and these meetings to your hand. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dylan. And can I ask you, please, just to be upstanding for a minute's silence? I was reminded by Councillor Hull that today, 80 years ago, was the fall of Singapore. So for all those that lost their life, if we can just have a minute's silence. Lest we forget. Thank you. Thank you, Dylan, for a very special prayer, and it's always a pleasure to have you here with us in the gallery. And again, thanks to the family and members that are here. Can I just also advise residents and members of the gallery that the meeting is actually recorded? So council and committee, council committees are audio recorded for the purpose of assisting with the preparation of the meeting minutes and promoting public transparency. The recordings are subject to the provisions of the Government Information Act of 2009 and are made available to the public for review via the council website. I note there are no apologies or leave of absence, so it's great to have all the councillors present. Declarations of interest by councillors. Okay, I've got a declaration of interest, significant non-pecuniary interest in item 8/22, which is the draft VPA for 14A Grosvenor Street. The interest is as I own an investment property at the Strand Croydon, and it lists in the report that the VPA funds are specifically for the Paisley Road car park. I will be removing myself and allowing the Deputy Mayor to chair that part of the meeting. So we might change the meeting order to have that as the last item so we can deal with the two investment items, then the DM can take the chair and you can deal with that item while I'm out of the room. Any other declarations of interest? Any declarations of political donations? So there are no planning decisions, I believe, so there won't be, but there may be a recording for voting on planning decisions. Confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting on the 16th of November, 2021. Two councillors present was Councillor Manor and Councillor Crichton. So it's moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Manor. Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, I declare that carried unanimously. I believe there is no speakers for open forum, but there is a speaker to address the council on a public agenda item. Michelle, so I believe that speaker's online, is that correct? Would you like to put them through before I just read the guidelines?
Hello, hello, this is Helen Jabor.
Sorry, Helen, it's the mayor. Just before I get you to speak and address the council, I'll just remind you have 3 minutes to speak. There's no questions to be asked, so it won't be a question and answer session. You can speak, put forward your case, and please address the item only. So no personalities are to be addressed. Welcome, Helen.
Thank you very much.
So just for the record as well, Helen Jabor is speaking on item 14. 8/22, which is the draft VPA 14A Grosvenor Street, Croydon, and she's speaking on behalf of the applicant, or as the applicant. Welcome, Helen.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity to address Council. I'm here in support of Council's recommendation for entering into a VPA for the property at 14A Grosvenor Street, Croydon. My name is Helen Jabor, and I purchased the property nearly 20 years ago in the hope that I could call on it in the future. But shortly afterwards, the property became isolated with no chance of amalgamation and subsequently became surrounded by 8-story buildings. Since that time, I've incurred hundreds and thousands of dollars in development costs, as well as large amounts of land tax, as the property is valued as if it were a high density property by Revenue New South Wales. Every decision and delay around my property over the years has impacted me severely. I'm a single mum with 2 children and have been plunged further and further into debt. I tried to sell the property in November 2020 and no one came to the auction. With increasing land tax and maintenance costs, I could no longer afford to keep the property and again borrowed more funds from my parents to now arrive at this step to progress the development application. This DA, which is now recommended for approval, has had a lengthy and comprehensive DA process. This has included a detailed consultation with council-commissioned external urban planning consultants, GMU, in order to find a workable solution for the site. The development application has been years in the making and has been worked on, thought through, tweaked and reworked to get to its current state, which is recommended for approval. This DA includes a VPA for contribution in lieu of car parking. The VPA contribution will be used to improve the management and enforcement of public car parking in the immediate vicinity of the site and the Strand High Street. In this context, the use of a VPA to address a planning matter related to the application is consistent with the current policy and general guidance in relation to the use of planning agreements. I would like to thank everyone involved for their patience, determination, and skill, and implore councillors to vote for the recommendation for council to enter into the VPA as stipulated in the director's report. A development such as this will create more housing options for people of the Burwood Council area, and the VPA will create a significant public benefit to the suburb of Croydon. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Helen. There being no further speakers, I'll move to the items on the agenda. First item being Merrill Minute MM1/22, which is the establishment of the Burwood Sustainability and Environment Committee. In October 2021, the draft Sustainable Burwood Strategy was endorsed by Council for the purpose of public consultation. I understand that consultation report is currently being prepared, taking into consideration community feedback, and will be submitted to Council for adoption at a subsequent meeting. The purpose of the Sustainable Burwood is to build on the work undertaken as part of the former Green Action Plan. It provides a framework for sustainable planning, decision-making, and actions to achieve improved sustainability and environmental outcomes over the coming years. It also proposes a number of big moves, which can either be implemented as immediate actions or reflect the change that would make a fundamental impact to the achievement of a sustainable Burwood. Many of the actions within the sustainable Burwood will only be successful with a high level of community input and participation. Engagement with the community throughout the life of the strategy will ensure new initiatives are locally relevant and meaningful, and encourage the community to adopt a sustainability mindset and practices in their own lives. Linked to this and the growing importance of sustainability to our community, I propose the establishment of a Burwood Sustainability and Environment Committee for the term of the new council. I believe this new committee should play a key role in actively guiding council on the priorities outlined in Sustainable Burwood. It should also draw upon local expertise, experience, and community networks to further council's commitment to reduce waste, reduce our carbon footprint, maximise new green infrastructure, and engage in community-led participation. I propose that the committee membership include the mayor as chair, the deputy mayor or a councillor, depending on what the report finds when it comes back via a council officer report, and or an alternate councillor representative, along with other community and stakeholder positions to be filled through an open expression of interest process. The Merrill Minute further proposes that a draft term of references for the committee be presented to Council by at least June 2022, along with a report on any financial or resourcing implications for the consideration of the Council. I therefore move as a Merrill Minute that Council endorse the establishment of the Burwood Sustainability and Environment Committee to include the Mayor as Chair, the Deputy Mayor and or an alternate Council representative via a councillor with other community and stakeholder positions to be filled through an open expression of interest process. And also that the General Manager conducts an assessment of financial and other resourcing implications for the establishment and activities of the committee and prepares a draft terms of reference to be presented as a report to Council by June 2022. Any questions? Any speakers? Speakers for? Councillor Cutcher.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, I just want to express my enthusiastic support for the Mayoral Minute. I think it's really critical that we provide our community with every opportunity to contribute to discussion around sustainability and our local environment. I think there are many challenges that we will face as a community in the coming years. With a committee of this nature, and a sustainable Burwood strategy gives us the opportunity to meet some of those challenges. I would very much hope that the report could be brought well in advance of the June deadline. I will be supporting the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Putcher. Councillor Crichton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to add my support to your Mayoral Minute. I think it's really timely for Burwood. And I've mentioned it before, but it also, as part of the committee structure, I'd love them to consider Burwood Council joining the Green Building Council of Australia. There's a whole local government portal. And when you look at the list of members in the back, the City of Canada Bay, our friends there, and the City of Sydney and the City of Parramatta are all local government members. And I think that could be a wonderful opportunity for Burwood Council to get on board. And I recommend that to you. Thank you.
Okay. Good. Any other speakers? Speakers against? I'll put them in that. All those in favour? Those against? I declare that carried unanimously. Item MM2/22, which is the second Merrill Minute for this evening. And this is to deal with a briefing that I received from the General Manager on the success of the Special Bill Design Review Panel. This was an idea that, and one of the biggest issues we've been having in recent years is the actual planning panels, when they're approving development applications, I feel is becoming a ticker box system. With all the new legislative requirements, and it's so complicated via the planning and the Office of the Department of Planning, I should say, it's we're becoming a ticker box system, and we're not actually designing buildings or looking at ways that buildings can coexist with their surroundings, with, you know, whether it be design, better public space, usable public squares, active spaces. So one of the things that I was being briefed on by the General Manager is a process that they went through recently on one of the matters before the Joint Regional Planning Panel. And the panel chair recommended that the council commission a design review panel to look at better ways of getting design outcomes on that application, and that it be paid for by the actual applicant or the developer. The GM and Dylan, who's the director, have advised and gave me a bit of a brief, and I'm sure they're going to give the councillors a brief on the difference it's actually made, not only to the spaces, but to the actual design of the building itself. So on that basis, I am proposing a minute that the General Manager investigate the implementation of a permanent build design review panel, and that a further report be brought back to council outlining the process by which a panel will be engaged, terms of reference and general procedures for the panel, including the criteria for any particular application being referred to the panel. Do I have any questions? Councillor Cron.
I do have one. Just is there a dollar value for the projects that would come before the design review panel?
That's one of the things that we're asking to be investigated and determined.
Could I just add then that I really do, I also support this. I think this is also timely. I think it's really important. This will help us recognise, discuss and support the role that design plays in making our buildings and our places better for our residents, for the environment, and importantly, in post-COVID times, or almost post-COVID times, for the economy of Burwood. Thank you.
Any others? Councillor Kutcher? Am I saying that correctly, Nick?
Kutcher.
Sorry.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, I in principle support this. I think it's a good initiative. My concern is that this sort of thing can just become a different kind of ticker box exercise, just different boxes being ticked by different people. So I guess my encouragement to the GM in investigating this would be to think about all the opportunities and avenues that there will be for genuine community engagement and consultation around design as development occurs throughout Burwood.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions, comment, speakers? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? Declare that unanimous. Is that correctly? Unanimous, yep, okay. Next item is item 1/22, filling of casual vacancies, which is on page 9. Do I have a mover for a motion? So the process, councillors, is we'll get a mover if there's a second, and then we can get into questions. If there's no questions, then we can put the motion. So I've got a mover. Councillor Cron, you've got a motion?
I propose an alternate motion. So I'd like to move that A, Burwood Council declares that casual vacancies occurring in the office of a councillor within 18 months after the last ordinary election of councillors for the council on 4 December 2021 are to be filled through a by-election. B, the General Manager is to notify the New South Wales Electoral Commission of the council's decision by 18 February 2022.
Do I have a second?
Seconded
by Councillor Mann. Do you wish to speak?
I do, thank you.
I might just before you
Sorry.
Do Do we speak or questions? Do you want us to do questions? Speak first, speak to the motion.
Thank you. I actually believe really strongly in this, but on the 4th of December 2021, as we all know, we had borough council elections where with 22 candidates before our 21,000 residents and non-residential electors to choose their mayor and the six councillors. And the people of Burwood have voted, they have spoken, and here we are tonight at our first council meeting. And we have been elected to serve Burwood Council. So in good faith, I can't take that right away from our residents and appoint a councillor on a countback. To me, that is not how democracy works. I strongly believe it is the residents of Burwood who must decide at every opportunity that presents who has the privilege to sit here in this chamber, which has been taking place here in Burwood since 1874, and we must go back to the ballot box and give our residents an electoral voice. Thank you.
Councillor Manning, did you wish to speak?
I concur with what's been said by Councillor Crichton.
Do any speakers against, speakers for the motion, or against the motion? Against. Councillor Robinson?
I take the point, but I think that by-elections are costly and time-consuming matters, and I think that there is a mechanism that we have been using for those hundreds of years that councils have existed, and I think that whilst the mechanism for a by-election does make sense for a state or federal seat, I think for councils they do not, and I'll be opposing on the principle that they are a cost to the taxpayer.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other speakers against? Councillor Hull?
Yes, look, I'm all for democracy, Mr. Mayor. I'm all for the principle of people selecting and electing their representatives. However, in this instance, I concur with Councillor Robinson's words. We need to be mindful of the costs involved here, which in accordance with the notes provided could be as much as some $233,000 for conducting a by-election. Bearing in mind, of course, that we have recently had an election and will be facing another election in just over 2 years. I would also just point out that there, would ordinarily in an ordinary election, there would be additional funding from the state government available to help alleviate those costs, which would not be available during a by-election. So I think I would urge council to reconsider and embrace the count back motion that is on the council papers. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other speakers? Councillor Cutcher.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Look, I think cost is obviously an important factor, but I also don't concede that it's undemocratic to hold a countback within 18 months of an election. Our community has given us a very clear indication of the makeup of the council that they wish to see over the next term. And I think if any one of us sitting in this chamber at the moment were to resign within the first 18 months, we would do so on the understanding that there would be and that there should be a countback. So I won't be supporting the motion.
Thank you, Councillor. I think we've had two councillors speak for and three against. Councillor, I'll give you a right of reply and then we'll put the motion.
Thank you. I just thank my new councillors for their contribution. I wholeheartedly disagree, but that's the benefit of being here. I suppose we don't always have to agree. I think there are new ways that a by-election could be held. It would be possibly we had the trial of i-voting. I think in time that we'll see significant improvements in that. And I just can't put a dollar value, as I've said, on democracy. Thing. And also in the report, it said it's an approximate figure. It's not actually that figure needs more work. Of course, that is a sizable amount of money, but I can't support that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Thank you, Councillor. Thank you, Councillors. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Aye. Those against? Declare it carried, which was the amended motion. Now we've got the election of the Deputy Mayor, which is item 2/22 on page 13. Now we just quickly need to move the motion before we hand over to the general manager for the election. There's a recommendation there which proposes that we agree to the mayor, to having a deputy mayor for a period up to, I believe, September, confirm the nomination status and it being an open ballot. And that's it. So I've got it's been moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Espar. Speakers against?
Confirming the period up to September.
Up to September 2022, and then it's annually thereafter. To put the motion, all those in favour, those against, declare that carried. I'll hand over now to the General Manager who fills the role as the returning officer for the election of the Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I can confirm I today received one valid form, nomination form, that's signed by two councillors and accepted by the nominee. And that this form is to nominate Councillor George Manner as Deputy Mayor. Before I move on to this one, just one last opportunity if any other councillors want to nominate from the floor. If not, given that we only have the one nomination, I have the pleasure of declaring Councillor George Manner as our Deputy Mayor up to September. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Councillor Manner. Can I just say a very warm thank you to Councillor Crichton, who filled in the position since last September, and I know she's begun a new job, and it's a lot harder at the moment, but good luck, and thanks for all your support. And George, Councillor Manner, I'm expecting you turning up tomorrow early. Start work. So now the next item is item 3/22, which is the revision of Charter Audit Risk and Improvement Committee. Do I have a mover? That's on page 19. It's been moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Councillor, you wish to speak at this stage? Councillor Crichton, any speakers against? Speakers for? The motion, all those in favour? Sorry,
I just had a question if I could.
Yeah, sorry, yes.
I just noted in the business papers there was reference to a cost implication, but there was no figure disclosed. So just wondering if we could get some detail. That is a good question. I'll see if I can find it for you.
Financial implications on page 21.
I believe the comment says it's within budget, but it doesn't disclose what the actual figure would be.
I'll just hand over to the General Manager.
Thank you, Councillor, for the question. Yeah, the financial implications are simply in relation to the potential addition of one independent member. The independent members on the committee are obviously selected and then they are compensated. I think... last year, it was roughly $5,000 for per year. It's approximately about $1,000 per meeting they receive. And so usually there's 4 to 5 meetings per year. So I would say it's $4,000 to $5,000 additional to the budget that's currently allocated, and it is within budget.
Any other questions? Put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, declare that carried. Item 4/22, which is the councillor representation on committees and other bodies. Is there any questions before I... You all would have received a spreadsheet. I think Michelle has a copy. So it's been moved that way by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Esmer. Speakers for? Any questions? Speakers against? Put the motion, all those in favour? Those against, declare that carried. Item 5/22, page 58, which is the council meeting schedule for 2022. So it's all listed there for you. It's been moved by Councillor Robinson, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Speakers for, against, put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, declare that carried. Also unanimously. Item 6/22, which is the delivery program for 2018. to 2022 and the operational budget for 21-22 half-yearly reports, which is 1 July to 31st of December 2021. That is on page 62, councillors. For those following, Shell, can we get it up on that screen, please? Because we've lost it. Just so the people in the gallery can follow along. Do I have a mover? Been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Speakers, questions? Speakers against? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried. Disclosure of political donations and electoral expenditure, which is to receive and note the report only at this stage. Been moved by Councillor Esper, seconded by Councillor Manor. Speakers for, any questions by councillors? Speakers for, speakers against? Put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, I declare that carried. I'm going to ask for a procedural motion for two items, 9/22 and 10/22 to be brought forward. And then the last item to be dealt with is 8/22. So it's been moved by Councillor Manor that we have a change in business order, seconded by Councillor Esper. Put the motion, all those in favour, those against, I declare that carried. So we're dealing with item 9/22 first, which is on page 169. Been moved by Councillor Esper, seconded by Councillor Manor. Do I have any questions? Speakers against? I'll put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, we declare that carried. And item 10/22, which is the investment report as at the 31st of December 2021. It's been moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Manor. Do I have any questions from councillors? Speakers for, against? Put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, we declare that carried. And I believe the next item, there's no questions without notice. So if just for questions without notice, councillors, if you put those to the general manager, I think they've given you a guideline, then they'll list them actually on the report. So the next item is item 8/22, which is the draft VPA for 14A Gravener Street. I'll ask the deputy mayor to take the chair. I'll remove myself as I've declared that interest. No, if I don't get to see you, I'll catch up with you.
Okay, item 8/22, draft voluntary planning agreement for 14A Gravener Street, Croydon. Do I have a motion? A mover of a motion, please. Moved by Councillor Crichton. Do I have a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Esper. Do you want to speak on the motion?
I will, thank you. I do remember this. This item has been before council just a few months ago, and I actually chaired it because of the interest that the mayor had in the item, and so I chaired it. And on that occasion, we decided to defer it, and that was on the basis that there was a little bit of uncertainty. Further investigation needed to happen as to if our internal policy for VPAs actually extended outside of our CBD, so in Stratford and Bowden, and extended up to Croydon for us to actually, that our policy supported us being able to accept a VPA. And I believe that those investigations have now happened. I'm pleased that they have, and it's now timely that this is back before council tonight. I do just have, if I, through you, Mr. Deputy Chair, or Mr. Acting, no, Deputy, Deputy Mayor, if I could just ask a question of the staff, because in the recommendation it says in item one, it says $106,000 towards the improvement of public parking facilities. But then back on the same page under financial implications, it talks about, they've actually outlined the project saying towards the installation and management of parking sensors for the on-street parking areas within the Strand, Paisley Road and part of Malvern Avenue. So I'm just wondering, to me that does seem like a lot of money for parking sensors, but perhaps that is correct. But have all things been considered? Is that the best use of the VPA money if that was to be voted on favourably this evening? Or has everything been considered in terms of lighting and signage and no dump rubbish and a whole range of things? That's the question. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Crichton. Can I ask the GM to, or Dylan, actually? Okay, yeah, to give us a little bit of a brief in regards to how this comes under the Town Centre as far as the policy as well as the funding, where it will go.
I might ask the Director of City Strategy, maybe just a brief background for particularly for the new councillors, and then also the nexus, I suppose, where the money can, what the money can be spent on within the precinct, if you can.
Okay, through you, Mr. Mayor, I suppose in terms of the background, we have a policy within the DCP which allows developers to provide a financial offset in lieu of car parking that can't be provided on site. And I guess there's a number of criteria that we take into account when considering that, one of which is, I guess, the presence of any particular constraints on the site, whether a site's particularly small, isolated, difficult to develop, and they would therefore make it otherwise difficult to provide full provision of car parking on site. Other things we take into account is, I guess, proximity to public transport, which is why our current policy is geared around the Borough Town Centre, Strathfield, and it also allows that offset to take place in our neighbourhood centres as well. This site is outside a neighbourhood centre, but given its proximity to the Croydon station, being less than 300 metres, and also the similar constraints that apply to the site in terms of being isolated and otherwise isolated by surrounding development, we feel that there's the appropriate planning-based merit to apply the policy in this instance. In terms of, I guess, your question, Councillor Crichton, about being able to apply this to other things, it does have to relate to the planning merits of the application. So in this instance, the applicant has put forward the contribution in lieu of car parking to deal with that specific deficiency with the application, so that we can say, well, okay, we're not having provision on site, but we've got a mechanism whereby we can improve the management and otherwise availability and turnover of publicly available car parking in the immediate area. It doesn't allow us to, for example, use those funds for other things, whether it be street cleansing or anything like that. There has to be a clear nexus between the application and the money that will be used for. In this instance, because the Strand is I guess, there's not really any available land to build new car parking, we are really going for a technology-based solution that allows us to monitor the turnover and otherwise availability of on-street car parking, and if required, send our enforcement officers down there to, I guess, encourage the appropriate use of those car parking areas.
Can I just add? To answer the councillor's question, a conversation I had with Director of City Assets, George, wants, obviously the nexus needs to be there. It's the solutions we provide with our money are to address deficiency in parking. There's obviously a multitude of solutions we can implement with our money. The sensors is one of them. That's a technology solution. It will not cost $100,000. The sensors are relatively cheap. And so we'll be looking at additional measures that can be funded through that money, whether it be, like marking lighting on parking, potential reorganization and consolidation of existing parking spots or anything like that. So I don't know if, George, you wanted to add anything, like clever ideas.
Through you, Deputy Mayor. So there's other technologies that can integrate with sensors. So we might look at dynamic signage, for example. The sensors will feed into that as to how many spaces are available. So it's technology around parking management. It doesn't have to be specifically sensors themselves. Yeah.
Just a follow-up question then, if that's okay. Am I allowed to? Yeah. Is it the intent to exhaust the $106,000 there at this time in Croydon if this was to get up? Or does, if there's money left over, does it stay in the bank for a while until something else presents? I'm just trying to get an understanding of that.
Through you, Deputy Mayor. Look, I think, again, going back to that nexus, we would need to be spending it in the Croydon Strand area. How far that $106,000 takes us in terms of those range of improvements, we would have to see and report back. But it certainly gives us a good budget to implement those management measures we've discussed.
Okay. Any other speakers to the motion? Okay.
I guess it's really just a follow-on question from Councillor Crichton. Some of the other options that I wonder whether other options such as improving pedestrian links between the site and the town centre have been considered, and whether or not looking at options to improve car sharing, the availability of car sharing services in the town centre might have been considered. It would seem to me that, you know, those are matters that would have sufficient nexus. I'm a little uncomfortable with making a decision based on a cost that may or may not be met with the options that are being presented. And I'd just like to get a clearer understanding of what else is being considered.
Okay. Back to GM.
Would that be a possibility to investigate options such as the ones put forward by the council?
And through you, Deputy Mayor. Look, the issue of the car share was discussed through the application process. We currently don't have a policy to have car share or consider car share within a development of that size or any size in that matter. I think that there was a fairly amongst officers that using a car share facility within the development wasn't appropriate until we could do some proper and further investigations about whether or not that's a workable solution. I'm aware that other councils do have a car share facility provision and they gear it specifically towards boarding houses, but we're not there yet in terms of just understanding, firstly, how it will be managed as part of the operation of the boarding house, or having that sort of further policy investigation to make sure that it's a workable solution for us. In terms of, again, just the following question in terms of other links and sort of pedestrian links, I think just given the sort of the proximity of the site to the station, the recent upgrades that have been done to the station and I guess the direct accessibility to Grosvenor Street, I don't think there's anything material that we could do there to improve the streets around the area. I think the general footpath network is there, it's in good condition, and there weren't any obvious gaps in that overall provision that could be plugged by this development at all.
Any other questions? Could you highlight to us if this VPA, it's not a DA, it's a VPA, right? Could you outline the process if this is knocked on the head, for example, and doesn't go through, what happens?
I can give you a number of scenarios there. This is an application that will be determined by the Burwood Local Planning Panel. If councillors were mounted today not to accept the VPA, the application will still be referred to the planning panel to determine the application. They may say, okay, there is a deficiency of car parking, we don't support the proposal and refuse it. The applicant then has the ability to appeal. They may take the view that, well, okay, there is a deficiency of car parking, but given the proximity of the site to the train station, we feel that that's outweighed by the accessibility to public transport and still approve the application. That would then remove, I suppose, the ability for council to use those funds to improve local provision of car parking.
Okay, I'm going to put the motion. So all those for the motion, put their hand up. Okay. Those against the motion? We have Councillor Crichton, Councillor Robinson, Councillor Hugo, Councillor Espar, and myself, Manna, for the motion, and Councillor Kutcher against the motion. The motion is carried. Yes. The motion is carried. Okay, councillors, that being the last item, the meeting is the meet,